Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hello, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Eileen Gaffin, your host for Reputation and Influence, and our topic today is building and leading successful teams. And I want to introduce you to our leading lady today. It's Pamela Stambaugh. She is president and founder of Accountability Pays. And for more than 30 years, Pamela has served as a trusted advisor to business leaders who want to transform and elevate their leadership conversations and behaviors. She's also a contributing author to the best-selling book, Women in Business Leading the Way. Hello and welcome, Pamela.
Thank you, Eileen. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, these are not usual times, and here we are, you know, as business leaders trying to stay in the game, stay on top, lead our teams, and there's a phrase that you use about be leader, then do leader, and what do you mean by that?
Yes, most absolutely. I am a champion for leaders being leading and occurring for the world and for their people with integrity, with love, listening for people's greatness. That is beingness. And beingness is also how a leader shows up that represents the culture. Culture runs downhill like water. So if the leader is exemplifying how they want their organization to be known on the outside, it should be reflected on the inside. And I am a stand for leadership. In these days, they really, all leaders need someone to stand for and with them. And that's really what I am here to do. I've been dubbed a behavioral change master. And in that sense, what that means is that I really do want leaders to see the difference and feel the difference between who they're being as a leader and what they're doing as a leader. Doing is more in the management realm. Leadership is how they show up for their people when it's hard, when they're challenged, when remote workers aren't productive, when communications break down because of the COVID situation, when people are upset. They shouldn't just be taking the temperature physically. They need to be taking the emotional temperature as well, because that's where people live.
Well, how do you help them do that then, to see?
Right. Well, thank you. That is really the big question, isn't it? So we actually right now are speaking from the perspective that all business problems are people problems, and never has that been more obvious. And so it shows up with the gap between performance as it was before COVID and performance as it is now. And we actually have tools that can measure that. Furthermore, we also know that engagement is a big deal right now, and we measure that. And so we can give feedback. I literally had a conversation the other day with someone in a leadership position. We were looking at the engagement of their people, and one of their key team members, client-facing team members, had 5% engaged. And you got to know that becomes an urgent issue, right? Like now there is a communication that can be driven in the context of what does someone bring as an expectation to what is provided by the company.
And are
so
you
then we
seeing
begin
that,
to dig in.
Are you seeing that during this global pandemic and economic turmoil, are you seeing that engagement is just you know, slumping even more than usual?
I don't have statistics on that, but I would say that there are some people who are thriving because they would rather work from home and they've finally been given their pass. And there are others who are suffering. So it's not equal. There's no equal here. There's no level playing field by any means. It's become a rocky hill. And some people are better at climbing this thing than others. And so when leading, that has to be a part of what's there. We need a cadence of communication. We need a new cadence of how to execute. We need a new cadence for how to optimize for results. And those are the tools and practices that I bring on the strategic side. That we at Accountability Pays are a stand to elevate trust and team results, even in, and I might say, in spite of, right, the COVID situation. So we can take a look at the people stuff, because all business problems being people problems, that's where you want to look for where is there a natural gap in that productivity and communication, and how can you fill it so that people feel they feel the culture, even though they're not there. They know they're losing. They know people are leaving the organization. They know there are losses, and those grieving moments need to be acknowledged in appropriate ways, for example.
So you've mentioned communication or effective communication. What is your recommendation for leaders, especially now where they may not be in the office with their team? What does effective communication look like?
Right. Well, first of all, effective communication requires asking more questions, what's working and what's not working, and finding out what's really underneath that. You can't be at the superficial level. It's not business as usual. There's got to be more time given and more attention given to where are the barriers and how can the company accommodate improving the circumstances. I know of one company that said sent ergonomic chairs home for everyone who was at home, right? So there are actions that could be taken to communicate support in subtle ways that really have meaning. What would have meaning for those people who are remote right now? And maybe beyond that would be not a group action, but an individual action. What is the recognition and the appreciation required right now, person by person? Find that out.
Mm-hmm.
No assumptions work anymore.
Yeah, a lot of people think of communication or effective communication as the style of writing or speaking or, you know, this one way from the leader. And I'm hearing you talk about listening, asking questions and listening. And you're going to find your answers, like you said, in an individual level or team level by...
Yes.
You know, being empathetic and actually listening.
Yes. And additionally, it's the communication cadence, like being, because people are looking for leadership to look solid and at the same time to acknowledge their vulnerability. So it's not just one way. It's yes, you've got to have some clarity. You've got to be simple. You've got to be straight. You've got to earn that trust by being authentic. If it's not good, don't pretend it is.
Yeah, I think that's something that's changed in the last decade that I've seen in the business world. Is it used to be that a leader had to put on a facade and act a certain way as a leader, and you just talked about vulnerability and authenticity. And we're finding that leadership is much more effective if you bring your real self to the office.
Exactly. Exactly. So how can a leader, someone who has a team that looks to them for leadership, be more effective in these times? It is the listening. And further on, it's who they're being. Because if they're inauthentic, that communicates. And I'm sorry, but that costs trust. And
yeah.
Trust is garnered when people feel safe. And there is so much that's not safe right now. People don't feel safe to speak openly in their political beliefs. People don't feel safe in the riots in the streets in some places. right? There mm-hmm. is a real threat to our normalcy, and it's human for us to want things to look the same tomorrow that they look today, and they don't.
How do you take that? You talked about having tools to measure some of this, of where people are, or, you know, to take their temperature, so to speak. How do you do that? What tools do you use?
Yes. So organizationally, I have tools and practices to look at the communication cadence, at the effectiveness, and build in processes and systems. That's one level. That's more on the doing level. On the being mm-hmm. level, the Harrison assessment is my tool of choice, which I have used for 20 years. And I'm looking at what are the drivers of behavior. I'm looking behind the behavior at the context of what is it that informs that behavior. So we're looking at paradoxes, for example, and a paradox is two seemingly opposite traits that actually both and are the answer that works. So think about communication, which is what we've been talking about here. Some people are highly frank, which is a dynamic way of being, and others are highly diplomatic, which is a soft, if in excess frank is blunt, and if in excess diplomatic is evasive. And what you want mm. is the both and. That's the paradox of it. So that you get someone in a leadership position who understands when frank is valuable and makes a difference that's appropriate, not just blunt all the time. And someone who is diplomatic when it's required, when there's a softer moment, especially important in times when people may be addressing children problems or aging parent problems or losses in various ways, that you need that diplomatic, but not the evasive version. You need the both and version, because if you're evasive, you're not addressing the feelings that are coming forward from that that emotional employee. So you need both and. You need the balanced versatility of being both frank and diplomatic and being able to swing in either direction. And if you don't start in that balanced place, then you don't have the range of motion available. All you want is to be direct, and you've got reasons for that, right? That my parents were evasive, so now I just tell it straight, right? We've got excuses and reasons for why we lean only one way, but they're not effective. It's not about right or wrong, good or bad, but it's about what works. And that doesn't mm-hmm. work for everybody. People who are blunt all day long kill off a room and don't even notice. And on the other side of that, the upset of people who are just diplomatic, who are evasive, they store up the things that they haven't said. And at some point, these are going to come out in an explosive way. And it'll be those red-faced moment times when they wished they could take those words back because that was awkward or inappropriate. So that swing, and it's just one of the 12 paradoxical pairs that we can identify and work with so that people can actually access both the employee and the leader. They can access that balanced versatility. They can move themselves. They can see what's needed here and be supported in getting there. That's why they call me a behavioral change master.
Uh-huh. And what are you finding during these times where, you know, workers and team members are maybe working remotely? And, you know, how can a leader better understand, like, who effectively works remotely? I mean, you talked about listening and getting them the right, you know, ergonomic chair and things like that. But is there some way to tell, you know, which employees are still engaged and are, you know, doing okay in a remote work environment?
Yes. We created a behavioral competency, or Dr. Harrison created a behavioral competency, which is the deeper dive into that communication and productivity. There's a high-level explanation of where people are with it that's actually being offered until the end of 2020 at no cost. And then below that, the deeper dive into that data would say, here's where the development needs are of that individual. And that would be true for the leader as well. There's one report for the people who are individual contributors and another for the people who are leading teams. I would think that every leader would want to see for themselves first what do they need to work on to bring themselves wholly as a leader to their team, because chances are they're guessing at what people need and then providing them what they think they need rather than what they actually need. And so we can close that gap. And the same is true for engagement. What do people think their employees need is not what they actually need. So let's get the data, and I can help that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've spent a good portion of our time now talking about the people. What about leadership and strategic planning? We're in this, you know, odd time where a lot of businesses are having to shift their plans and come up with new ways of working and create new business goals for this year and for next year. How are you working with them on that, or do you work with them on the strategic planning piece?
Yes, I do. I am bringing tools for really getting that deep dive into the strategic plan, looking at it from a perspective of what's needed now, because some things have shifted. You've got essential businesses, and then you've got unessential businesses that need to pivot to become essential businesses in some way or adapt accordingly. And so some organizations need to really address their business model, and others simply need to make the appropriate adjustments and bring people along. So there's one tool called the one-page business plan, which takes all of that work we do on the back end and communicates it to everybody in the organization in a way that they can see what they're accountable for and how that's being measured. And that in itself will give confidence to the people who work in an organization to know that their leadership is stepping up and taking on a new game. That's important. And then how they communicate, the communication cadence on a regular basis. A CEO ought to be providing every person in the organization with a monthly letter that includes a certain cadence or a sequence of conversations. Some are acknowledging individuals, right? Recognition of high performer, and some of it is simply saying, here's where we are and here's where we could be better, right? Just the written version of that authenticity, and also being transparent and sharing and having people feel a part of something. That's big. So we begin with that kind of a deep dive and get clear what the value of it is, and then what does it need to be executed. And then beyond, all right, we have the basic execution, how will we optimize? How will we have the person who's responsible for operations get the experience and have the support to do what's right to keep current? Because more and more what we call being an autonomous organization means that you tip the triangle, if you will, of authority over and put more of the responsibility of making those core decisions down into the organization where they have visibility into what's actually working and what's not working, and empower people in a very appropriate way to do what they need to do to bring their part of the organization powerfully aligned with what else is going on, right? So you think of it as a system. And then knowing where the communication needs to be, knowing where the metrics need to be, measuring the right things, measuring them the right way, using tools like the trailing 12-month indicators that look at trends, that's going to be more and more important, and that's one of the tools that we bring. Just a whole toolkit of communicate, execute, optimize.
What a wild year to be looking back, though. I mean, it's going to look like a roller coaster.
Yeah, exactly. Looking back and looking forward. I mean, so some people naturally tend to be clingers on to the past, and other people naturally tend to be innovators and want to go after that next biggest thing. Innovation is our friend today. It's one of the things that keeps the United States resilient, frankly, is our propensity as a country to really get it. Okay, we've made a shift. Now what?
Mm-hmm. Well, as you talked about autonomy, giving more autonomy, you also mentioned recognition. Does recognition play a larger role now, or is it the same? How important is recognition?
Well, it's very important, and that's an interesting question from the standpoint that the Gallup poll has been measuring engagement for many, many years, and the consistent results are that 70% of employees before COVID were disengaged, right? And now when you send some of those people home, they're like, yay, now I can actually be flexible enough to take care of my children, go grocery shopping, and have time in the evening to finish up my work. Some people are feeling more efficient. But the cost of that lack of engagement pre-COVID was $450 billion to $550 billion in the U.S. And that's measured. Yeah. So now really there's an opportunity for leaders to realize reward, recognition, and appreciation have always been important. And when you find your champions in the organization leading the organization, it's never for more money. What they're looking for is gratification in other ways that they didn't get in their current employment. And that's pretty common. They say it. No, it's not about the money. You can't pay me enough to stay, is what they're saying.
Mm.
That it's not
so
about the money.
That's a really important piece.
Big, very big. Yeah.
You wrote an important chapter in the new book, Women in Business Leading the Way. The chapter's called It Takes a Village. And we've heard the expression, but I'm very interested to know the context for that, what you wrote about.
Yes, that makes me smile. Yes, that chapter was very autobiographical and self-revealing. I was one of 14 entrepreneurs who are women-owned businesses, certified women-owned businesses, and my contribution, It Takes a Village, is about none of us do anything alone. It's always about team. And for me, over the years, I have been, in the past, more of a lifestyle business than really looking for a future, right? I was fine with the way things were. I had plenty of business. I was satisfied with my clients. I was making a difference. And then at some point recently, I will say 2 to 3 years ago, I said, you know what? I have something of value here. I'd like to find my legacy partner and create something in accountability pays that has longevity longer than my desire to stay in and work. And I'm fine for the next 5 or 6 years. I love what I do. I don't have children. This is my baby, right? And realistically, part of my DNA is collaboration. I really love to work with other people. And so now I'm brought on an executive assistant who's fabulous and amazing, Melissa. And I knew her because she was at a company that did not survive COVID. The sad thing is that they had reached their goal for 2020 by February. Right? I'd been working with them on strategic planning for the last 3 or 4 years, and they were really cooking with gas. And then could not survive because what they deliver was not essential. And so they closed their doors, sold the buildings, done. Really sad. And
wow.
My benefit was that the woman who was trained on the assessment for recruiting has come to work with me, and she also was responsible for their marketing. She's a brilliant contribution. And then I actually have another person in my life. I just stay open. Who is my legacy partner? And I have a woman who may be that. And we're just taking it easy. She's got young children, no hurry here. But she's engaging as she can. And we'll see. We'll see how that evolves. But I am an opening for that legacy partner.
This is powerful conversation because, what is it, 80% of businesses are small business? At least it is here in Southern California. And
yes.
And I don't know how much thinking small businesses do about their growth and succession planning, as you refer to, you know, with legacy partner. That's an important piece. And what you said about lifestyle, you know, choosing it before, what did you say, lifestyle choice or?
Lifestyle, right, yeah. My lifestyle business simply meant that I was not really, I was fine with the amount of business I had, right? I was certainly loved to be on the cutting edge of what's important and always researching and always interested in what matters most. That's a mm-hmm. part of my business is to bring what matters most. And finding more and more that strategic planning matters most, I engaged with CEO Tools 2.0, and now I'm trained in that, and that's what I'm bringing. Are the C stands for communicate, E stands for execute, O stands for optimize. So it's not just for CEOs, it's for teams. And so we kind of circle back. That is something I predicted would be important, and it takes me back to my strategic planning roots in systems thinking. So, right, it's knowing what's needed and when it's needed. I'm pretty good at that. But the lifestyle business was, I didn't really look at the bottom line as something I needed to worry about if it was enough. And now I'm saying, nope, I'm a growth business.
Mm-hmm. Well, you are a visionary, and you've presented us with a lot of good information. I'm sure our listeners are going to want to reach out to you after the show. And we do have a link on the page to your business, but did you have any other way that you would like people to reach you if they want to follow up?
Well, so first LinkedIn, right, because that is where everybody gathers in the business-to-business world. Now, I would suggest there, and I would say accountabilitypays.com. It is up and running. However, I have just hired a web design firm to recreate my website. So it's a five-year-old website, and just like every other aspect of a business, needing revisiting to be sure you're current and up to date, I've done the same. I do have a fun little video that provides access for the remote workforce analytics report. If somebody wants that, they can come see my fun video and click to get those remote workforce analytics report quite easily on accountabilitypays.com. But I would ask that you be gentle on the format in your mind, because there's a change at coming in the next 90 days or so.
Thanks for the warning. we'll look for that refreshed website. And
yes.
It's Pamela Stambaugh. Her last name is spelled Stambaugh. If you're looking for Pamela on LinkedIn, and Accountability Pays is her company. And that is our show for today. Thank you, Pamela, for being our leading lady today.
Thank you, Eileen. Always a pleasure to talk to you anyway, and now to have this opportunity. Appreciate you.
Oh, it was absolutely my pleasure, and I want to give a special thanks to all our listeners, both here in the U.S. and around the world. We are an international show. We'll be back again for another Women Lead Radio show every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific and Fridays at 2 p.m. It's been my sincere pleasure to be your host today. And remember, your reputation is our business.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.